Hello, this is my Lenten diary for February the 19th, 2021. Today is the Friday after Ash Wednesday. One of the real gifts growing up in the church I grew up in is the way in which we, in Sunday school anyway, encountered the stories of the Bible. You see, we didn't encounter them first and foremost as problems to be solved. We didn't worry too much about the historical critical matters, like to whom was the book written? What was the context that the author wrote the book within? What were the particular rhetorical or polemical issues going on? Did the people who are mentioned in the text even exist? Did the events that are listed really happen? That's not how we experience the scripture at all. We, in a lot of ways, inhabited the stories. Certainly, we inhabited them with our own particular viewpoint that back then I couldn't have possibly begun to unravel. But when we came to a story in the Bible, the people there were real three-dimensional people to us with their own thoughts and feelings and their own motives and agendas. We just simply got caught up in the drama of the story. I've thought a lot about that as I've reflected today on the story we read in the third chapter of the Gospel of John. Nicodemus is a religious leader, a Pharisee, and he comes to Jesus in the middle of the night, I think more or less trying to scout out who Jesus is. Jesus has entered the temple, presumably just ahead of this moment, and he's made quite the splash. He's turned over the tables and run out the money changers. This is one of those unique features of John's gospel. John has Jesus cleansing the temple at the very beginning of his ministry, whereas Matthew, Mark, and Luke put this event in Holy Week. Anyway, Jesus has caused a stir, made a splash, and Nicodemus seeks him out for conversation. And Nicodemus begins that conversation in a complimentary fashion. Teacher, we know that you are sent from God. And Nicodemus is doing the classic trying to establish a relationship. And what follows next is what Bible scholars call the first discourse. Because what happens is Nicodemus and Jesus have a little bit of a back and forth, and then Jesus sort of launches into a monologue. And we don't really know how Nicodemus responds to that or not, because it's just one big monologue. Anyway, it begins by this conversation where Nicodemus is speaking on one level and Jesus is speaking on another, and they're completely missing each other. Or maybe Jesus isn't missing Nicodemus, maybe Nicodemus is missing Jesus, right? So here's what happens. Nicodemus begins with this complimentary stuff, and Jesus says, you know what, you've got to be born from above. And Nicodemus is like, what do you mean? And Jesus says, you've got to be born again. And Nicodemus gets all caught up in the mechanics of how that would actually physically work. And Jesus says, well, no, no, you're missing the point. You've got to be born of the water and the Spirit. And Nicodemus is still kind of confused. And then Jesus launches into this discourse about who he is and what his mission is. And in the course of that discourse, you get what many people have called the golden text of the Bible. It might be the one Bible verse that nearly every Christian, yes, even Episcopalians, can quote by memory. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus goes on to say after that verse a number of things about how God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. He says that the light has come into the world, but people would rather live in darkness than see the light. all kinds of things happen after John 3:16, but still John 3:16 captures our imagination because it seems to indicate that Jesus knew exactly what his mission was to be. He understood his role and he understood how people needed to respond to him. Well, we might have lots of theological arguments about what is intended by this verse, what Jesus meant, how Nicodemus received it. And yet, this verse, John 3:16, has comforted millions upon millions upon millions of people of faith down through the centuries. For those of us who maybe struggle with our unworthiness or our self-esteem, for those of us who wonder sometimes how we can be loved or maybe even think ourselves unlovable, this is a verse of good news. Because if God loved the whole world, past, present, and into the future, if God loves all of us, then that means God loves me too. Sometimes Episcopalians are accused of being too soft, of being too much about God's love and not enough about God's judgment. Here's the thing, people of God. I'll take that criticism. Because we live in a world of cruelty. We live in a world of vitriol. We live in a world of hatred. We live in a world where people spend more time tearing each other down than building each other up. It's little wonder so many of us struggle with whether or not we're even lovable. And so the good news of God, the good news of today's reading, the good news of the gospel is that yes, indeed, all of us, each and every one of us, are objects of God's love. We can't get away from it. We can try to ignore it. We can live as if it doesn't exist. But a central truth of the gospel is that God's love is eternal. And God demonstrates that love by sending the beloved one. God sends the Son as a divine act of self-giving and as a message to all of us that God loves each and every one of us enough to get in this world with us, to live as one of us, to suffer along beside us, and indeed, as we will remember in this Lent, to die for us. So today, I don't know where you are on your spiritual journey, but it might be a good day to remember that John 3:16 isn't just a placard for a poster. It is the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the end that all who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let us pray. Support us, O Lord, with your gracious favor through the fast we have begun, that as we observe it by bodily self-denial, so we may fulfill it with inner sincerity of heart. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.